Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our guy, former legendary tight end, Jason Dunn. JD, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, my brother? How you doing? How's everything going, man, after this disappointing loss on Sunday? But, you know, the week is still kind of early. It's time that everybody's licking their wounds. We move past this thing, man, and we'll talk about it here and have a great conversation about some of the things that we need to do. But how are you holding up? How's it going?
I got to say, you know, having our post-game podcast, our first one, which a lot of you guys, you know, were with us on the live chat for that. It was nice to actually to be around friends and our Chief Concerns friends to talk about this stuff. And honestly, you know, the airing of grievances, it was nice to kind of have that to it to know that a bunch of people were all in the same headspace after that game. Because as I mentioned on the show, I was pretty broken up having to have to talk about it so close after the game. And you know, were you, and I think a lot of Chief fans, as the overreactions we saw, and I'm sure you saw on Twitter this week, I think we've got to a point now where there's a lot of Chief fans who haven't really, and I'm not going to call them new Chief fans, but I think they've forgotten how to lose. And I think we've been winning so much over the last few years that people forgot how to lose. And now when we do lose, it's overreaction. No, it's fire Andy Reid. It's fire Bieniemy. It's Mahomes is not good anymore. He reached his prime. We need Tyreek Hill. All these things you're hearing. It's like, relax. Without the special teams blunders, we win that game. Ugly win, but we win that game. So just relax.
Yeah, just a lot of reaction. This is all it is. A lot of reaction, and that's how it is. Like you said, that's really good how you said it. Is, you know, we've got how it feels to lose, which is good. It's a good thing. And sometimes when these losses come, you want these losses come early so you can learn, you know, from what you didn't do right. You know, what is not necessarily working, what do you need to change up, communication, all these different things. And so we know, man, look, not having Buckner out there kicking the field goals and extra points, man, is concerning. And so we knew that. We knew not having him there is the difference in this win, right? You know, but even if you take, you know, having him, you know, still, there was a lot of things as far as like problems that the Chiefs was dealing with on Sunday. And so, man, it was tough. It was tough. So,
yeah. And it's funny. I'm not trying to knock down Matt Amendola. I know he's no longer with the Chiefs anymore at the kicker. But when we had Lawrence Tynes on our show, I remember we asked him, that was the day we signed him. And we said, how do you feel about this guy? He was like, yeah. He goes, I'd rather have Butker at 50% than this guy. I was like, oh, okay. Well, and then I was like, hopefully we never have to see this guy. And then what happens, you know, we went for a 4th-and-10 fake field goal pass because the special teams were scared to kick with this guy. I mean, I don't know.
Hey man, look, LT told you, Hey, he told us. He told exactly. He's like, look, I don't know if I quite trust this guy, right? I don't know if I, you know, trust him to kick it. And he was not wrong. So, hey, man, look, players know players, man. Shoot, I trust LT, man. When you talking about all those things, he's my go-to. I go to him anytime. He'll let you know. So it was actually good with the guy that we have just signed that LT actually likes. He was just like, hey, man, this is going to be a good guy for us. So, you know, no concerns like you had last week with Amendola. You know, I wish that guy the best, man. Look, hey, this didn't work out. Just didn't work out, man. And you got to perform. That's how it works. You know, if you want a job in the NFL, man, you got to be consistent, especially in that position. You know, I mean, every position is vital for you to be consistent, but especially as a kicker, it's tough. I can imagine what Coach Mill would have said. Oh, I know Coach Mill going crazy. Oh, you know,
all you had to do is kick the ball. That's it. That's all you got to do.
So, Coach might have had him drive back. Yeah, you know, the Kansas City.
I know a lot of fans wanted that to happen
you can't treat a guy like that. Coach really, you know, Coach love guys, man, but he would have gave him the business, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I also thought it was funny, the irony with playing the Colts, the guy that the Colts were kicking with, the same tryout that we had with Amendola, that Amendola ended up winning that tryout to be signed with us. That kicker made like a couple 50 yards against us on Sunday. He was actually at that same tryout. And we chose Amendola over that guy, which is interesting.
Wow. Are you serious? I did not know that.
So Amendola must have been a badass tryout that day.
Yeah. Hey, he's a stud. He came out studly. You know?
But yeah, so as JD alluded to, we brought in Matthew Wright, the kicker, which we got Lawrence's opinion on Wright on Twitter, and he approved of the pickup. But Butker did return to practice today. And he was actually doing some shared duties kicking with Matthew Wright. So it looks like it's trending in the right direction for Butker, but we'll see. So I'm sure we'll get more information before the weekend comes. In other news before we start the show, there's some good news, and we're going to have this guy. He says he's going to come on next week to talk to us about it. But our friend of the show, Nazi Johnson, who was a practice squad guy, is now on the active roster, as we said that was going to happen. That was where it was trending. And he got pulled up to the active roster, and he'll be playing against the Buccaneers on Sunday. And he's going to come on the show next week to talk to us about it, against playing against Tom Brady. But we couldn't say enough about the kid. Great kid, and really happy he's getting the opportunity. JD, were you surprised by that news?
No, we said be patient, right? It's always the next guy up. And so you could see he had that understanding, that putting in the hard work, he just wait around and just wait your opportunity. And I'm so thankful that he's able to come up, man. He's going to be good for him. He's going to be really good on the defense coming up, giving him something, that's for sure. So you could tell he's a hungry guy. He's been sitting over there learning a lot. And so going against our number one offense, he's ready. He's game ready. So, I mean, he's going against, you know, one – the best tight end of the game, and then, you know, some good receivers. So, the guy's ready.
And plus special teams. I mean, that was a big problem this week, and, you know, he's probably going to get a lot of special teams reps. So, hey, you know, sometimes when bad things happen in games, good things happen to certain guys so they can go in and improve themselves, right? I mean, that's –
Yeah, of course, man. He's going to run down like a scalded dog. So, I know he's going to be excited. Can't wait to talk to him, really. I mean, he's just like a kid in a candy store right now. I know how that feels, going out there to be able to go and play, especially with a good old game like this against Tampa Bay. Yeah, he's going to enjoy this a whole lot.
Yeah, and how crazy is it? Your first game. So not only do you get to practice with Patrick Mahomes during practice, but your first game in the NFL is going to be against the GOAT, as they say, in Tom Brady. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's significant right there, man. You can't forget that. I played against Tom Brady. You know, first year coming in. So, yeah, that'd be good. It'd be good for him, man. Happy. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, it's a good guy, and he's going to talk to us about it. And, we can't wait to have him on next weekend. You know what? We did the live show on Sunday. I think with Nazi on the show next week, I think we might have to do a live show, JD. What do you think? A live midweek Chief Concerns episode? What do you think about that?
I'm not opposed to it. Not at all. Not at all. I think, man, you know, especially like on Wednesday, get some people, man, because it's like in the middle of the week, people don't really have too much going on. Mm-hmm. So might be good, man. See some people that we can have on Twitter kind of engage with us.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful.
100%,
especially after that dub, after this win. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll see. Well, hopefully, I'm gonna knock on wood on that one.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to come back, man. Shoot. Look, these guys, hey, after this past week, this disaster, you put this game plan together, you know, they kind of know what to do coming after Tom Brady. Mm. And so that's what the defense was absolutely stellar last week. It was absolutely incredible. Just lights out ball. Did a tremendous job. And so if you have that against like Matty Ice, you're going to have it against Tom Brady. And so these guys are going to be ready. They're going to be absolutely ready to go play. And so, you know, these young guys, like I said, what better way to get your name put out there than going against, like you said, you know, the GOAT, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing that I think has gotten lost in the shuffle. I think for years, you know, we've gotten used to the high offensive team with the Chiefs, and everyone's like, oh, but the defense sucks. Now the defense is good. No one's talking about how good the defense looks. It's literally all about how just Mahomes looks off. It's like, whoa. We were in that last two games, all three games, really. The defense is amazing. They're so young, but yet we're not talking about that. You know, they've been the focus of all the bad mouthing over the last few years because the offense was so good. But now the defense is good and the offense looks bad right now, at least. We're not talking about how good the defense looks. We're talking about how bad. I think people put too much focus on the negatives, and I know that's in society. People are always focusing on the negatives of things. But like, come on, let's give the defense their roses, their flowers, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. And I said that. I said that this team defensively was going to be an incredible team, and they've shown that. You know, they got a lot of good pieces around them. They got some young guys in the secondary. They got some great linebackers. So. As far as I've seen in the last few years, this is probably one of the most complete defensive teams that we've had. Guys that are very hungry, come down and make plays. I mean, Harris came in and did a wonderful job at linebacker, didn't he? For Gay, I mean, he was all over the place. I mean, seriously, it looked like, man, like every, you know, if somebody caught the ball, Harris is in there. If it's out there in the flat, Harris is out there, you know? And so, of course, the one that they caught in the end zone, where they scored their only touchdown, the second touchdown, I'm sorry. Was it his fault? Yeah, maybe. I don't know, because George was in there too. So they had – George is in pass coverage and Harris. So it might have been just some miscommunication possibly of that. But I think that was really like the only one I seen where it was kind of – it was noticeable where maybe he didn't do the right thing, you know. So you know, I don't know how they had it coverage, but maybe it should have been his guy. But other than that, man, he was all over the place. He did a great job. I loved it. I love seeing him out there.
He really seized the moment. And I think the cool thing was with Harris was that, and I'm not saying Harris is better. I'm not going to get to who's better, Gay or Harris, but I will say just, you know, and being, you know, playing football and stuff and seeing that, you know, Gay is always there. He's always there to make a play on everything. But he kind of over pursues in a lot of his tackles and he whiffs a lot. Whereas Harris is squaring dudes up last week, you know, and again, sure tackling, man. That was one thing I really noticed. I was like, man, he's really laying the stick on these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so I don't know if you could look at that as where Gay may just be so fast and so athletic. He's just like, oh, man, I just overran the play. Yeah. I don't know. But he's a much better player than what he's shown, you know, some of the missed tackles he's had this past season. But Harris, yeah, man, like you said, seizing the moment and opportunity. Shoot, man, he took it for everything that it was worth, every single thing.
Yeah, and now we know why Elijah Lee was put back on the practice squad, because Darius Harris, you know, he's always been showing something in practice that he really displayed in that game, and against Jonathan Taylor of all running backs.
Yeah, no, shoot. Hey, man, you just shut that guy out. That was a heck of a job. So, you know, you're going to make sure that one guy wasn't going to be able to beat you. Jonathan Taylor wasn't that guy. He didn't beat us. He didn't beat us at all. And so he didn't really get going. He had, I think, maybe one good run. I seen when he kind of got into, you know, the secondary a little bit. But other than that, man, he was pretty silent, you know, pretty quiet the entire day. And that had to do with what was going on up front. I'm going to tell you another one that surprised me. But I've been waiting for this guy to show up. It was Saunders. Saunders did a great job in the middle, man. I went back and watched the game, and I'm like, man, he was pushing back. We needed some of that. We needed that penetration. We needed to have those linemen in the backfield. And he was doing a great job pursuing and running down the line of scrimmage and making sure he wasn't giving up any type of ground. Mm-hmm. So hats off to him. I'm really said his name too much. I've been looking for guys on defensive line. So I'm gonna say him. You know, Saunders did a great job, man, on the D line this past week, man. I want this guy to keep it up because I know he's got some ability, man. And I think if he keeps showing up like he did this past week, it's going to help out a whole lot with the defense.
Yeah. No, 100%. I couldn't ask the defense to do more than what they've done so far this season. And, you know, I hope this continues. And I think it's going to get better, which is crazy to think about, but I think it's going to get better as these guys are so young and they're coming together and they're going to continue to get better as the season goes on. So we might really have a solid defense for years to come, and I'm here for it. And not to mention pass rush, which we were scared about going into the season, already 10 sacks on the season, fourth in the league right now.
Ooh, boy. I tell you, another one showed up. Look at Frank. I said, hello. What's up, 55? How you doing? What's going on? Right? He like the silent assassin that kind of just came around the corner, you know? So, you know, he came in, man, like a ninja and just, you know, got a couple little swipes here and there. And so him, Dunlap did a good job.
Dunlap did really good.
Dunlap looked good. And so we're still waiting on a young pup, man, to kind of, you know, get his beak wet, waiting on it. So he'll get there. He'll get there. But, you know, he's got some guys that's showing him how to get it done, man. So, like I said, Dunlap, man, you could tell the difference of him coming in, getting pressure. Like I said, Frank is like, he's in there. I'm like, oh, shoot, look at Frank. What's up, Frank? So, man, they look good. Defensively, like you said, I don't think you could – obviously, with the loss, it takes away from the performance of what they did defensively, right? I mean, it's just – that's the only Sully on. It's like, man, we got the L on that. But, hey, man, this dude, wonderful job. Wonderful job.
Yeah, I mean, and you chalk up one their first touchdown – that was the Sky Moore muff. So, like, that's really not their fault. They got the ball to 1 yard line. I mean, what are they supposed to do? And they got him to third down, but they just couldn't stop that touchdown. But yeah, I mean, yeah, they played great. We just wanted to make sure we gave the defense flowers before we go into a show. We kind of talk about some of the things we're concerned with, as the name of the show, Chief Concerns. So you ready to rock? You ready to go for topic one, JD?
Yeah, brother. Let's go. Let's rock and roll with it.
All right. So I know our Chief fans online, Chiefs Kings, you know, just so worried about certain things. Main topic so far that I've seen this week since our reaction podcast, at least on the national media, was the Eric Bieniemy in Mahomes pre-halftime kind of disagreement, which we knew this was going to be a national story because, you know, people want to talk about drama and soap operas. So any chance they get, they'll do it. So as we discussed in the reaction podcast Sunday night, you mentioned how the Mahomes and EB disagreement before half wasn't really a big deal. That's stuff that happens all the time. So since then, LeSean McCoy, who has been an EB hater since he left the team, went online saying all EB does is argue with players and knows nothing about play calling or passing. That's a quote. Mahomes has since said it's not a big deal and that they are both fiery competitors who want to win. So that's just natural that they're going to have conversations like that, heated discussions. Other former Chiefs players have taken to social media to defend EB, Jamaal Charles being one of them, who, you know, was spent time as a running back when EB was a running backs coach with the Chiefs for 5 to 6 years for a good amount of time. So like the guy knows Eric Bieniemy more so than Shady McCoy does, who only played with him for like 5 months. So, JD, you know EB personally, your time with the Eagles, and you go way back. So, when you see the Shady McCoy comments and you see guys like Jamaal Charles and Jeff Allen defending EB and just what Mahomes said about it, what do you make of all the stuff, of the aftermath of all this, the fallout of the EB and Mahomes halftime spat?
Well, like I said on the post-game show, I don't think it's really nothing, to be honest with you. I think it's exactly what Patrick said is it's two competitive guys talking these things out. And part of what a coach does is he's got to compartmentalize exactly what's going on for the entire game. And so, and offensively, we always want the ball. We always want to be able to score. And so when we have time and downs, we want to be able to move the chains. If we have another chance and opportunity to make more yards or get a touchdown, that's what we want to do. And you've seen like Patrick coming off, you know, being frustrated because he feels like you might have had, you know, given another chance. Well, the thing is, and here's the reality. When I looked at it, I went back looking at the film, the play before that, the defensive tackle came from behind Patrick and tackled it. And so, you know, when he was throwing the ball off, that right there could have easily been something that could have hurt Pat. And so, look, you're up. You're going to get the ball at the half. And so it's like, look, man, you know, look, relax, chill out. Hey, relax, right? And Patrick's like, hey, man, look, we should go for it. Like, why don't we go for it again? You know, hey, EB was like, look, man, just don't worry about it. But, of course, the camera catches everything. And then, oh, my God, here we go again. We need to get rid of, you know, EB, and he's terrible yet. And seen it on Twitter. People's like, have we got rid of EB yet? And I wanted to say, for what? Look, I evaluated the entire game. It wasn't like there was bad play calling. You're going to have, you know, obviously some moments where everything doesn't look as crisp as it should. That wasn't on EB or the play calling. Like, there was some really good plays that was being called out there. Matter of fact, when they came back at the half, they were moving the chains down the field. Like, Patrick was getting the ball out of his hand quicker. Guys were getting open. Like, he was moving the ball. And so when you make this reactionary opinion about who you should get rid of because you've seen somebody get after each other and they start talking, look, like you said, everybody wants a big soap opera. It's not that. I don't think it's that at all. And so sometimes it's the optics of things when people take in. It's like, oh, I can see exactly what's going on because they're not on the same page. That's not what it is. Then we're talking about, you know, Shady, LeSean McCoy. Listen, sometimes people want to be right. I think he's a guy that, you know, hey, he said this about EB. He wants to be right. And so he doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be so forgiving of a guy that came in and was just like, basically like, look, man, hey, we've had a lot of stars here. I've dealt with stars before. We understand you're a star, but there's some things that you got to do. I'm going to talk to you correct. And I think EB did that. And so, whatever LeSean liked it or he didn't like it, you know, but he's gonna talk his game. He's gonna say what he wants to say. It's his opinion about EB. But you got other people saying opposite of that. Mm. You do. And I know people that know EB. I know EB. I know what type of person EB is. He's an old school player. You know, he was one of the top running backs in college. When he got into the league, he was gonna be one of the top running backs in the league. Look, this guy's been around. He's a player. It ain't like you're talking to some dude who don't know. You know what I mean? That's a whole different thing about it. That's what kind of, you know, upsets me about what he's saying about EB, because you're not talking to a guy that didn't play or was a bench rider or he's just a pencil head. You know, sometimes what we call some certain guys that might be coaches who didn't really have that experience. EB's not that guy. Right. He done been in the league. He done played. He knows what it's all about. So, you can have your opinion about whatever. That's fine. But you're just making a mountain out of a molehill, man. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I know it's not.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that because, you know, you have guys in the league who got their job more so because of nepotism, you know, like Kyle Shanahan, son of Mike Shanahan. There's some examples of it. You have North Turner's kids, you know, people who didn't really play the game, but just, you know, were born in the right family, and so became coaches. EB played the game, and he played at a high level, and you know, so like he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. So I think that's when you say that, I totally in agreement with that. But something that what a fan commented on one of our YouTube videos, they said that people want to talk and trash EB. I think this is a kind of a shot at Mahomes, but people want to trash EB, but who wanted to kick a field goal at the end of the first half of the Bengals Chiefs game? EB did. Who didn't want to do that? Mahomes wanted to come out there and do that play where we didn't get anything forward, where Tyreek got tackled by Apple, and the rest is history. But who wanted to kick a field goal? EB
right.
did.
EB.
So we want to pick and choose when EB's the bad guy or not. But sometimes the coach is the coach for a reason, man. That's it.
Look, the thing is, hey, everybody has a role to play. And I believe that the part of the reason they're not going to give EB a fair shake, right? Because he's not the head coach. They're going to use that as an argument, or, you know, this is what, you know, why he's not good. You know, when it's going good, it's going to be Andy's offense. When it's going bad, it's EB's, right? That's just, people are not going to be fair with him. They're just not. There's some people who, I don't care what happens, how many AFC championship games you go to, how many Super Bowls you go to, he is not going to get his due. Mm-hmm. And I see it. And it absolutely enrages me. Like you said, you can't pick and choose. You can. If you're doing it, then you're being biased. Okay? Let's just be real here. You're being biased about this. And I wasn't really saying it, and don't get me wrong, it's not really a shot against those guys about the, you know, Kyle Shanahan's and stuff like that. Those guys have been around football. Yeah. But also, too, we need to understand that EB's just not he's just not a guy.
Yeah.
He's a guy that understands football. He's a football player. So the reason he's in the position he's in because of the knowledge he's got, right? I mean, it would be almost ridiculous to think that Andy Reid would just hire a guy that's not qualified for that position. You know what I mean? We're talking about one of the greatest offensive geniuses in football, one of the best coaches to ever coach a game. But this is the guy that you decide for whatever reason to have here that's incompetent. That's the guy he's going to choose. So then we had to question actually Andy Reid's ability to get the type of people in that he needs. You know what I mean? That's the question. I'm going into it a little bit deeper. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, man. I just –
You're good.
But, yeah. But go ahead. It just boils me just when I see that. And I know, look, I get it. Not everybody is in that camp of EB. But there are certain people that I see, and I'm just like, there's a bias there. It's a clear bias. LeSean McCoy, Shady, has one. For whatever reason, he has that.
Yeah.
Fine. It is what it is. I get that. But Mahomes is saying it's not true, okay? I know for a fact that I don't care what offense you're going, there's going to be some type of disagreement. It's going to happen. It's going to happen before the half. It's going to happen after the game. These things happen. You're fighting your family. It's a big family. These things are going to happen. So,
yeah, no, 100%. I think that it's funny because the people who are against EB are going to be against EB. But and I think that even Andy kind of knows that, because that's why, like, Andy has to come out and say, oh, I also didn't want to call for play. I wanted to be done for the rest of the half, too, because that'll end the conversation. It'll go on a little longer if Andy's not coming out and saying, I didn't want to end it. But Andy knows that he has to come out and say, like, it was also me. Not only Eric, right. It was also me. We both wanted to just go to halftime. We didn't want to press it. Because he knows people have a narrative and an agenda they want to get out there. I mean, that article that came out in the offseason about how EB has put heads with everybody. There's a narrative that's in this, right? And so Andy knows that. That's why he's trying to end it.
Well, that's why I say, if you go into the play calling the second half and you watch what these guys are actually doing, you know, it wasn't bad plays being called. Mm. It was some things Pat just missed. Yep. Pat, he fessed up to it. He owned up to it. That's what I love about Pat, because he's a leader. He understands that. Like, look, there's some things I need to improve on as well, right? There's plenty of plays he could have checked down, you know, to get extra yards. Plenty of them, yeah? Did he keep the ball in his hand a little bit longer? Absolutely on some of those. But, you know, he's competitive. So he's trying to make a throw that he knows he can throw or he can make, but he didn't quite have the time. And so, you know, we kind of get into that more because, you know, some of the pressures that he saw move around the pocket was based off of the timing that he didn't have, you know, in throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. And so that has nothing to do with EB. EB can't block for the guys, okay? He can't make the decision for Pat. All I can do is put guys in the right position to make plays. Mm-hmm. It's on the guys to make them. So that blame just goes all the way around. And I just, I like you said, I don't want people to keep creating this narrative. It's like driving, because sometimes these things get people fired. Okay. And that's the thing about it. If you're sitting over here and you're creating this story about this thing being what it is, hey, and then you're going to have somebody pile on, you know, I told you I was right. You don't know how to do this in a couple. Man, get out of here with that. Okay. If that's what you want to do, fine, cool. Everybody got a little space for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, when I'm sitting over, I'm watching the play calling and I'm watching the entire film, there's guys open, there's opportunities missed. That ain't on EB.
Yeah. And I also say, too, there's a question I actually wanted to ask you. So when Mahomes on this radio show, he talked about, he made a comment about how, because they were asking why the offense didn't look so fluid, what was kind of going on out there. And he made a comment that, you know, not people, it seemed it was, I'm not, there's not a quote, but essentially what the point he was making was there was kind of confusion out there where guys weren't in the right spots where they were supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's not play calling, or who does that fall on when guys aren't in the right places and stuff? Is that falling on the receivers? Or because he didn't really point out anybody. He just said, you know, people weren't in the right place. There was a little bit of that fall on. Because people are trying to say, oh, well, who's that fall on? It's got to fall on the enemy. He's the OC. That's some of the stuff I've read online is what people are saying as well. It's more, that, you know.
Then that's people not understanding how offensive schemes work. You know, players mess up. Players get in the wrong position all the time. And so it could be the depth of the route. It could be what you were supposed to do on the route. And some guy might just be on his own little thing. You know, it's like, hey, man, you're supposed to run this pick, or you're supposed to be 10 yards. And you sitting over here five. Like, that messes up the entire lanes. It messes up the whole inner operation. Mm-hmm. And so that ain't on AB. And so when Pat is saying that, he's letting you know there's an issue mm-hmm. with some guys, because it's a brand new offense to some guys, right? And guys are still learning. There's going to be some calls, and guys are still getting used to each other, playing together, right? And look, it's early. It's week three, okay? It's week three. I just don't think, you know, what you do is you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't do that. You don't abandon everything because everything doesn't work. Now, if there's some things you need to tweak, fine. But you learn from that. That's what film study is for. So they're going to be able to see this on film. They're going to see who was wrong. Eye in the sky don't lie. I don't care what you do. When the meetings, when it's coming in, hey, those guys know who was wrong. Mm-hmm. Pat ain't going to call them out because he shouldn't. That's not how it works, all right? He shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But also, too, let's be fair. And I thank God for Andy coming out. I was like, look, man, I didn't want to do that. I don't want to put my quarterback in harm's way. If we lose this guy, we're going to lose the game. Season's done. So – I'm not taking that chance and opportunity, especially if we're up, then we got the ball at the half. We don't need to do that, okay? Our defense has been playing lights out. They all over the field. They're playing a tremendous game. Why take a chance losing this guy because we want some extra yards? We'll try to kick a field goal, obviously, from a guy who may not made it anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man. All right, next topic, brother. Let's go on. Let's move on to something else. True.
And with what you said, there was the one I think was Chief of the North had tweeted today a video of actually Juju getting upset with Hardman that last play at the end of the game where Mahomes threw that pick.
Uh-huh.
Hardman was supposed to run his hitch and pick Juju's guy on that slant post route that he was running, and I guess Hardman went like 6 yards instead of going 8 yards to pick Juju's guy on his hitch. And then, you know, there was too many guys in that area and ended up getting that pick and tip and stuff. So maybe. Yeah,
now, look, it's precise. You know, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. If you want to run 8 yards, don't run 7.5. It's eight. Hey, Coach Roman. No, it's eight. Mm-hmm. The reason we have this play this way is eight, right? And that's just one play. The people might have put out or whatever it may be. It could be anybody. It don't have to be McColl. It could be anybody.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm sure that's happening a lot during the game. If Mahomes is even, I'm sure it's happening at a lot of points during the game. But on that one, Juju did give kind of a motion to Hardman afterwards. He kind of like gave him like, what are you doing kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, hopefully the offense can clean that up, but we're going to continue talking about the offense. So our next topic, the running game. So this is something we've talked about the running game last week. We were giving, you know, CEH our love. And so we're going to continue on this one. So the running game didn't look good on Sunday. And we're about to play the Buccaneers defensive front, which have allowed the fifth fewest rush yards. But it's, you know, not worse than we played last week with the Colts. And I think last week's game helped a lot because we didn't run the ball at all against them. But the Colts have allowed the third fewest rush yards in the season. So it's a little better going against the Bucs. But the Buccaneers front, that they didn't let Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon do anything last week. So the defense has been one of the bright spots for the Buccaneers so far this season. So, J.D., based on what you've seen from the Buccaneers defense and from what we've been doing this season, how do you think we should attack the Buccaneers on the ground this weekend?
How should we attack them on the ground? I tell you what, man, you just got to run right at these guys. Okay, we know they got a pretty capable guys on the outside causing pressure on the quarterback. So what you do to soften that defense up, you got to be effective running the football. And so I don't know what that's gonna mean, but I do like maybe a couple more tight ends in it. I think the guys up front, one had to come off the football. I think they looked over the film and realized it wasn't our best outing, right? And last week, that sucker Buckner, man, is a grown man. Last week, grown man. He was giving everybody the business on that line. I'm just gonna be honest. So he was. So hopefully this week when they come back, you know, Trey and those guys on the interior is going to do a much better job. Wiley, you know, OBJ, all those guys are going to do a much better job. And so what they're going to have to do, they're going to challenge themselves this week. So I think that's what it starts there, just challenging themselves, looking in the mirror about who do you want to be as offensive line? What's your identity? Okay. Are we going to come off and hit guys in the mouth? Is that who we want to be? Okay, because everybody's been singing our praises about being one of the best offensive lines in football, and I believe that we are, okay? But we got to show up every single week, and you got to come in with that swagger knowing that's who you are. And so when you attack, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, they got fast guys, okay? You're not going to beat guys lateral with that type of speed. You got to play smash-mouth football, put your cleats in the ground, and come off the ball. And absolutely explode, hitting guys in the mouth. Double teams on BV and all of got double teams. It's got the mesh that you have to have with double teams, it's vital. It's imperative that everything is in order. Everybody's got to be on the same page in step, lockstep with each other. And so we got some of the best up front, and they got to show it. We do that and get up to the second level to those linebackers. Man, let CHE, McKinnon, Pacheco. Hey, if there's a chance, did Rojo get in? I'm saying let him run the football. He knows these guys. He knows these jokers. And so he's a guy that will be thirsty. You know, we've been talking about that on Twitter. There's, you know, we've been sitting there going back and forth with a few people, but I think this is the week. This is the time. I think he can give you a spark that you need. He's a hard runner. He's somebody that runs downhill. This week is a week for that guy to come in and play. I mean, that's where I'm at. That's my opinion of it. So I think he could give a much needed spark. He's a change of pace back that we need, who's a hard runner. And I think that's one of the things that's been ailing us is like our short yardage, you know. I mean, thank God for Burton. That sucker right there, man. You know, hey, Burton, hey, hats off to you, brother. Seriously. Hey, you 100% on me. Matter of fact, anytime we run short yardage, we on the goal line, I let you run the ball. Give it to him. Sucker going to score. So, but I think it's probably what you have to do. You got to stop the speed, run the speed, you run straight at speed. That's what you do with speed. Run straight at speed. You can't go, you know, east and west. You got to run north and south. So mm-hmm. You come out the football, hit them in the mouth. I think we'll be successful running against that defense.
This is something we talked about in the offseason was that you need a lot of running back kind of getting rhythm. And it seems like this offense, they're going and they doubled down on it today. I think I saw a report that they said they're going to stick to this committee that we have.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of hard for anybody to kind of get in a rhythm because we get down in the red zone and it's literally CEH is not going to be seen. I mean, in the Cardinals game, he was. But since then, it's literally all McKinnon. McKinnon comes in from the 20 yards, and he's the guy from that point on. Are you seeing any kind of like, I guess, a negative to having the committee and being so kind of like sticking to that? Because I just feel like CH isn't really getting to a rhythm. We talked about getting him the ball more. And I feel like last week he had 7 carries, 0 yards. But, I mean, he had some negative yards, negative carries. But I think no one can really get into a rhythm and kind of be the guy because it's too much 5 carries here, 4 carries here, 3 carries here. And just like a guy for different situations. And I get usually a third down back. Most teams have a guy for the third down back and designated for that. But like, let's CH eat. I think maybe I'm alone on that, but like no running back can get into a rhythm. If he's getting 6 to 8 touches and that's it. I mean, how is anybody going to kind of be a guy if that's all they're getting?
Yeah, see, I think that's the hard part, because that's our identity. That's with guys coming in, that's what you knew was going to be. I think CEH, the first couple of games, he kind of, like I said, he warned it to be the running back one. Mm-hmm. This game, he just wasn't able to get it going. And so a lot of that wasn't necessarily on him.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. It wasn't necessarily on him. Now, I think you got to do a little bit more of the leads with him. Somebody leading up with him. And sometimes we do the RPOs and the single back, him trying to make, two or three different yards. You know, when you're going against a very capable run defense, that's going to be tough. That's going to be really tough. And so the offensive line didn't really help him out either. But when a guy is not, if he's not feeling it, right? That's why they was like, hey, just bring McKinnon in. Maybe he give him a shot, okay? And so I think it's one of those things, if the guy is doing really well, you let him eat, okay? Hey, this week, it ain't about CEH. It's about McKinnon. Maybe the next week, it's about one of these other guys. And so I think it's philosophy all the way around in offense, right? Same thing with the receivers. Well, this week is Juju. Next week is MVS. Next week is Sky Moore. And so I don't think they're sitting there saying, we're going to have just a featured guy, okay? What we're featuring is the offense being successful. Mm-hmm. And so if they're an efficient offense, regardless of who we have in, that's what we're going to do. And so we said that before, it's not any more of those bell cows coming in and running the ball, 25, 30 times a game. It's just not that. Yeah. If he works better in the game plan about what we can do against the defense and be effective, that's the guy we're going to go with a hot hand. But I completely agree with you. I thought CH warranted more carries. Defense, Buckner and those guys, hey, they had a different thing. They had a different agenda on their hands. So they did a good job, man, stopping it.
Yeah, and I will say, and I will commend it, we talked about getting CH involved in the passing game more. They've done a great job with that. We mentioned he had seven carries, 0 yards. But he also had about five catches for 39 yards on Sunday. Right. That's amazing. You can't ask for more than that. He's had three catches, four catches, five catches in all three games so far. So, he's getting utilized in the passing game, which is what his strong suit coming out of college was. And yeah. I'm glad we're finally using that in this season. So,
absolutely. 100%. And look, a guy like that, man, you get the ball in his hands some way, somehow, and he's going to make something happen, right? Didn't happen in the run game, but like you said, in the passing game, if he's able to be, contribute, to what we're doing, shoot, by all means, let's go there.
Yeah. And I feel like, as we go to the next topic, I feel like we're going to be utilizing him a little more in the passing game this coming weekend with the kind of pressure Mahomes will be getting from the edge guys in Tampa. Yeah. Okay. So with this next topic, as we said, another noticeable thing on Sunday was offensive line not being able to stop the Colts pass rush. And the Colts pass rush is kind of, they have, Buckner, but it's nowhere near what we're going to be seeing on Sunday. So with the Colts, they pressured Mahomes on 16 of his 46 dropbacks, and he only completed 3 of 12 on those for 65 yards in those plays. So much like in the year we play the Bucs in the Super Bowl, their pass rush is still top notch. They're third in the league with 11 sacks. We have 10 sacks, but they have 11 sacks on the season so far, and that's been kind of their main bread and butter for the last few years since they've had Brady. Has been all about their pass rushing and getting pressure back there. They were in Rodgers' face all week last week. They've done a really good job with that. So my question to you, JD, is how do we counter this pass rush the Bucs are going to be bringing to us this weekend?
I mean, I think you got to do what you were doing in the third quarter of the Colts game, is get the ball out of your head fast. And so they had a great game plan coming back out, man. They looked crispy, like getting the ball out, curls, flats, the corner's going to play off. I mean, that's an easy pitch and catch right there. And so I think you soften up a defense because you got the weapons. Look, I don't believe that we are worse offense when we have the amount of capable guys that can catch the football on the outside and on the inside. I don't, obviously everybody was like, oh, well, of course bringing Tyreek up and what they've been doing. Hey man, listen, hey, we got guys out there. They're open. Now this will be on Pat to do the check downs, right? CEH, he's going to be able to beat a linebacker. Okay, McKinnon, he can beat a linebacker. You know, there's going to be holes and windows that Patch is going to be able to see. And so once he starts dissecting what they do defensively, it's going to be beautiful. I think, you know, what we've seen for the past, obviously, with the too high safety look and what they were trying to do, it's different. We don't run that stuff anymore. They can't run that defense against us anymore. But I think what you have to do is you got to make sure that the depth of the pocket is great, okay, the width of the pocket is sustained, okay, and get the ball out of your hands. And if Pat's doing that and he's using his checkdowns and just using the entire field, because you got to use the entire field against Tampa Bay, okay, to be effective against them, I think, man, they're going to be successful. And then you can look, you can still hit them over the head. You can still hit them over the top. We got guys, look, Hardman, MVS, Juju, Sky Moore. We still got four guys can go up and go get it. Justin Watson, we still got guys get deep running. We forgot about Justin Watson playing against his old team. So, hey, man. Hey, let that joker have a ball. You know what I'm saying? Hey, let him get down the middle and cover two, that Tampa two. Get down the middle, Justin, okay? So we got receivers. We got guys that catch the football. We know Travis Kelce. Now you can't double him up. You can try to do it. Double him up and see what happens. And then, and you're going to be sitting over here crying all day. Well, we should have – no, I don't want to hear that. You should have known better is what you should have known. So –
And not only that, you bring a good point that Justin Watson playing against his old team, but like think about the last time we saw this team was in the Super Bowl where they embarrassed us. And
yeah,
Devin White dominated Kelce. He was all over Kelce. Kelce couldn't do shit in that game. And now, you know, we talk about grudge match for guys coming back for the revenge for the guys who used to play for that team. Talk about the guys who got dominated against them. And you know, Antoine Winfield Jr., you know, doing the peace sign at Tyreek's face. I mean, even though he's no longer on the team, that is a disrespectful thing just to our team in general. And so these guys remember, the guys who are on the team remember that, and they want to give them a little taste of that. And I'm sure they kind of wish the game, if the game is going to be in Tampa, I'm sure they kind of hope it's in Tampa so they can kind of give something back to the people there, you know, to avenge their loss.
I mean, you know, hey, if it is, you know, if the whole, you know, hurricane holds off and it's still, you know, and praying for those people down there that nobody gets hurt, everything comes out, you know, good for everybody down there. Okay, for sure. But, you know, I don't know if it's in Tampa where it may be in Minnesota or they're playing on the moon. Okay, it's still the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay, Tom Brady, you need that revenge regardless of where it's going to be at, right? My thing is, and I just thought about this because I was looking at kind of the game plan. The Chiefs do a much better job with Kelce when they're moving him around. When he's in motion, he's moving around, so you can't just put your hands on him where he has, like, an open release, you know, where he's able to kind of move around the way he wants to. You know, like I said, that's the rubber man. If he don't want you to hit him, he's not going to get you to hit him. But if he's stationary, that gives the defense a better chance to kind of put their hands on him, okay, to try to disrupt his timing. But if you're moving him around, it's going to be difficult for him. And so I think that's probably one of the things they need to do game plan-wise is either move him or move some of the other receivers around to kind of see what they're playing, but also, too, just the matchup in itself being in your favor. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they played, if I remember correctly, the way they played Kelce, they just stuck White on him all game, and White was able to kind of man him up, right? Is that how they handled him in Super Bowl?
Yeah, that was pretty much a lot of it, but a lot of it was just – regardless if it was White or whoever else, they was just making sure that they got hands on him. That was it. Disrupt his timing. And that's what you had to do against a guy like that. If I'm playing against Travis Kelce or another tight end who's effective, matter of fact, any receiver, get your hands on him. You know, you got to stifle his charge. You got to stifle him, you know, getting a free release. That's just going to help you out. And I'll say this defensively, when we sit there and we watch Watson, Jalen on the other side where Pierce, you know, got a couple good catches. He didn't put his hands on him. He just didn't. And so when I'm sitting, I'm like, dang, God, man, get your hands on him. Slow him down because he's a big receiver. He goes up, catch a football, 6'3". Hey, man, you got to deal with that. But Mike Evans, Mike coming back. He's coming back after the one-day suspension.
He'll be there.
He might come back with some fire in his belly, you know. Shoot, he's swinging on somebody in the Chiefs secondary, man. He might get handled. They ain't gonna have none of that.
I know.
You know, no, but seriously, I think I think that's what you do. You're moving him around. But if he's in motion, moving around and stuff like that, then he could kind of, you know, he can maneuver getting around these guys. I don't have no problem with that. It's like I said, if it's more stationary, then it's kind of in the defense's favor, because it's just like, look, you just come up here and you just ride it for like 5 yards if you can, the 5 yard point, and then stay in his hip. Because at a certain point, Pat will come off of it.
Yeah.
Now let the other guys beat you. Well, the thing is, we got other guys around you that can beat you.
Yeah.
That's reality. So, hey, man, like I said, go ahead and try that with Kelsey. There's other guys out there that's going to eat. Believe me.
It's out the bottom. That receiver room is much better than that receiver room was when we played them in the Super Bowl that year. So, I mean.
Yes. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we got to be 100% factual about that. Definitely a better receiving core.
Yeah. Our second best receiver that year, I mean, it's a joke, but Darrell Williams was really our second best receiver outside of Tyreek, and we're actually third best outside of Tyreek and Kelsey. I mean, that's what we're dealing with as far as the weapons we had. Outside of Kelsey, you know, having that in the back of his mind, the way he got manhandled in that Super Bowl, he had a bad week last week. So he's going to want to come out, like, you know, having a good game this week to kind of redeem himself for last week, top of the added motivation of playing against a team who rocked your world in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I know he was really disappointed of the one he dropped in the end zone, and maybe, you know, thinking that he could have did more. And so he's, without a doubt, probably thinking in his head, well, shoot, this is a great challenge for me this week, you know, gets a good Tampa Bay defense. So I know Kelsey's going to be ready. He's definitely going to be ready. And I think we're going to be seeing a little bit more like Jody Fortson and Noah Gray also too. So we're going to have that personnel, man, and that'd be a good personnel against his defense as well, you know, really.
And we talked about that defense. So as we said, last time we saw them, our receiver room wasn't as good, but our offensive line was also not as good last time we saw them. We were playing with backups and third stringers in that Super Bowl because everyone was hurt. But a media person did ask edge rusher Shaq Barrett about our new and improved O-line that everyone loves so much. And they asked if they see a difference. And I don't think he sees any difference there.
From what you've seen in these first three games, how different is this Chiefs offensive line from the one you guys faced in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
I really don't think it's too much of a difference. I think we have a lot of favorable matchups. I think we have an opportunity to really dominate the game as long as, I just think, yeah, we got an opportunity to really impose our will as pass rushers, as rushers this game, and we could really have a coming out party. I know we had 6 sacks the other game, but we could really have a coming out party as edge and as edge defenders in the position group for this game.
JD, what do you think about that that quote there? You think it's a little cocky, a little rambunctious?
Hey, look, man, you know, he's taking from what he's seen last week, I'm sure. And if he's making that assessment about it and think that's who they are, he's sadly mistaken. I think these guys are going to come out being better than what they've shown, especially against the Colts. They'll be ready. These guys, they're probably seeing this and hearing this too. So Shaq's supposed to say that. That's, you know, that's what a defense guy says. I don't know a defense guy who's like, hey, yeah, no, we're not going to get any sacks. And I'm like, hey, you know, be a talented player. But guess what? Offensive line going to be ready. They're going to be ready this week. Believe me. And I guarantee just with Thuny up front and the leaders, Orlando Brown, Creed, Trey, Wiley, those guys are going to put it on their shoulders to have a much better game than what they had last week. So I can't wait. That's one of the battles I'm going to be watching this week for sure.
It talked to me about this aspect where, like, a lot of these guys are new to the team. They weren't on the team when they played this. O-line guys, because it's pretty much a revamped O-line from when we played the Super Bowl. Do those guys take on that burden that, like, man, the last time we played against this team, O-line was a joke. Everyone still makes jokes about how bad the O-line was in protecting Mahomes. These guys kind of take that on there, you know, like, you know what, this time we're going to show up and make sure Pat's untouched, or so they not even think about that.
No, O-line, they don't care who it is. As long as you line them up, they're ready to knock them down. They can care less. Hey, with him, this is the job. So you put it out here in front of me, I'm going to attack it. Okay. So I don't care what happened last year. We're talking about now. Right. Okay. These guys live in the now. And that's how they got to play in the now. Mm-hmm. So all that other stuff last, nah, we ain't worried about that. Shoot. We just know they're going to go out there and do work. And so they're going to put their hard hats on, man, do some construction and some demolition. Mm-hmm. Destroy this D line and them linebackers. That's what they're going to do. So, yeah, they don't care about none of that. These jokers ain't, you know, on the glorified. No. Bring your sledgehammer. Give us a little meal. And let us go to work. So that's what it's going to be.
Yeah. And with the Shaq Barrett quote, they have added motivation on top of the poor play last week to really hone in and keep our guy protected.
Oh, yeah. They're going to know where he's at.
All right. So our next topic, we kind of alluded to this game possibly being moved because of the Hurricane Ian making landfall in the Tampa Bay region. I believe Tampa Bay is going to miss out on a lot of the stuff, a lot of the kind of negative impact of the storm. And like JD said, we're sending our love to everybody down in that area. I hope everyone remains safe. And so with this game possibly being moved to Minnesota, the NFL's already come out and said this game will be moved to Minnesota if they do have to, if anything happens in Tampa and they have to kind of relocate. They haven't made a decision yet, but it's going to happen either today, tomorrow, or the next day. They're going to make a decision. They have to make it by Saturday at least. But the game will be played in Minnesota if the game is not in Tampa Bay. And Minnesota is in the Midwest. It's closer to the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's a lot of Chief fans in Minnesota. So my question is, how much of an advantage is this to the Chiefs if the game is played in Minnesota versus being played in Tampa? You know, it takes pretty much away the home field advantage, even though it is a home game for Tampa, but it takes away that home field advantage for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How big of an advantage is this for the Chiefs, and how big of a disadvantage is this for the Buccaneers if the game is moved to Minnesota?
Well, you don't have your home base, you know, your fan base, right? I mean, you'll have it up there in Minnesota and, you know, put together, you know, it's a lot closer to Kansas City than it is for Tampa, for sure. And you have a lot more just because, like you said, the Midwest, a lot more Chiefs fans out there. So I know that Tampa Bay is that to them, that might affect them somewhat, more so than will the Chiefs. But I don't know, man, like when you play a game like this, it's still going to be the Bucs against the Chiefs. And that's to them, that's all that matters. Regardless of where you go play, they can go play in the local high school somewhere and it wouldn't even matter for them, you know. So these guys out here, they're professional. You know, the faces are going to look the same that you're going against. So it don't matter if he's in Minnesota, Las Vegas, or New York. You know, you're playing there, okay? You know, you got Tom Brady coming in with TB12 and his legacy, you know, and the whole defensive front. And so these guys are going to be ready for it. I don't think it's a big issue. Just the logistics of it, you know, traveling and stuff is maybe the one that makes it really uncomfortable. That's the uncomfortable part of it, is just the logistics of it. But, you know, I don't know the people up here. Matter of fact, in Minnesota, going to get a treat. I know suckers going to go through the game. They might try to find some Chief jerseys and things to put on coming in. They might even wear their old Vikings jersey and walk in that sucker. So, yeah.
Well, and plus, you know, Minnesota, the Vikings are playing in London. That's they're playing in London. And so, you know, Minnesota fans are going to have nothing to do that day. That game's really on the morning. They can go at night to the Sunday night game and watch some Chiefs football.
Yeah, man. That'd be a good treat for them people up there. A really good treat. They'll be happy. They get it. They'll be really happy, you know. So two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. Yep. The two of the greatest of all time. You know, they'll be excited to see some really good football. They ain't seen some up in Minnesota for a while. So.
I know you said, regardless of they're playing New York, Las Vegas, anywhere, you know, it's Chiefs versus Bucks. But as a player, I mean, I know Buccaneer fans are already pissed off about it. I've seen it online, how they're upset that they're not going to have the home field advantage. The Chiefs are going to get away with this one because, you know, they're taking away a home game from Tampa. As players, is that something that you guys are thinking about? Like, man, that's bullshit. Like, that's BS. We should be playing in front of our home crowd. Now we're going to have to play a home game in pretty much in Kansas City's neck of the woods, and that's a home game for us.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do? Right. Yeah. I mean, you gotta be safe. I mean, this is just, I mean, it's just part of the deal. Yeah. And we got to deal with it. I mean, it sucks because it's just, you know, that's the contingency plan, but you know, hey, you know, I know they're going to be upset. It's a long way for them to travel from Tampa, but to be honest with you, everybody was complaining about the price of the tickets anyway. So, hey, I don't know. Save some of your money. Going to get your money back. You know, it's going to be maybe a little bit cheap up here in Minnesota. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, you know, the cost of living adjustment. Maybe it's a little cheaper in Minnesota. Maybe. So, and regardless, it'll be an interesting game, but it'll be cool to play in Minnesota, in, you know, more of our neck of the woods, and it costs us an away game, and that's really a home game. So yeah, it'll be interesting. Regardless, we're all going to watch it, and we're going to be tuned in to NBC on Sunday night for that one. Okay, so our final topic, game prediction, which is my favorite part, is to see where JD's head is at on this game. So Chiefs are currently, this line's been fluctuating. I think Vegas is kind of, hasn't really pinned down a spot yet because they don't know where the game's going to be played yet. But Chiefs were started as a 2-point favorite, or actually a 3-point favorite. Now they're a 2-point favorite, and then, or they were a 2-point favorite. Now they're a 1-point favorite. So it's pretty much a pick 'em. They don't really know where to go with this one. They're going to be playing the Buccaneers on the road, either in Tampa or in Minnesota. So Brady leads the head-to-head between Patrick Mahomes 3-2 in this one. I know you and E don't really like when I say the Mahomes versus Brady, because it's really not Mahomes versus Brady, but you know, in the head-to-head, it's 3-2 Brady. So my question is, who do you have on Sunday, and what are your keys to victory for Sunday?
Well, I got, obviously the Chiefs going to win it. I have them 28-21 is where I'm at. And I think that 21 is going to come like a last second charge, you know, from Tampa Bay. You know, Tom's going to, you know, do his thing, Tom being Tom, trying to get a late touchdown and try to get the ball and all that. But I think the key to victory with this is obviously pressuring Tom, stop Fournette. Once you do that, Tom's not going to be effective getting the ball to Evans. We don't know if Godwin's going to play or not. Don't know. But also, too, defensively, like I said, you got to run straight at these guys, the fast guys. You might do little traps, some counters and different things of that nature. Kind of move the ball around, see them not coming, doing some pulling more with the guards and whatnot. Maybe not necessarily as RPO as much as you necessarily do, or it depends, because these guys, man, I mean, they're that fast. They're fast. They're a fast defense. Also, like I said, keys to victory, moving Travis around. That way he's one-on-one with a guy. He's able to see what he needs to do. And protect Pat. Once you do that, run the ball, protect Pat, move around offensively, stop that pass rush, pick them apart. And I think you do that, man, it's going to be the victory. It's going to be all the keys to victory against a thirsty Tampa Bay team.
Yeah. And actually, I believe the you said 28-21 was the score you got?
28-21, yeah. 28-21 Chiefs.
I believe you have the over in this game. Let me see. I believe the total points for this game's 40. The total points for this game is 45. Vegas has 45.
Over, definitely on this one. Definitely go over.
If it's lower than 45, if it's kind of like an ugly kind of game, if you're saying 45 points, you think that is goes to our favor or their favor when if it's a more of a lower scoring game?
The Chiefs will still be victorious. I think, because I was just kind of in my head that maybe they score two touchdowns on Tampa Bay here, maybe kick two field goals, which give them at 20. Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs will still be around about 24.
Okay,
I still think that. That's where I'm thinking, at least three touchdowns from the Chiefs and maybe a field goal. So that's where I got the numbers. That's where I would be at.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, not just curious. I think the line, they're kind of overcompensating for Tampa really not being able to score this year. They haven't been able to score, but their defense is also holding teams to really not being able to score as well. So it's like, okay, so maybe they're going to try and make it an ugly kind of slugfest, much like the Packers Buccaneers game last week.
Yeah, I think if Godwin plays, and I think he's like limited practice this week, So I think they're trying to push for him to come back this game. That'll help them out. That'll help them out a whole lot offensively. So he's a weapon that they need. You know, that's the thing about it. And then, you know, Evans went there last week. So, too, Tom's going to have some capable guys around him to throw the ball to. Mm-hmm.
Both teams.
Oh, Julio. I forgot about Julio. Oh, Julio. Oh, old man Julio's out there, too. Is he going to come back and play? You don't know.
Yeah, that's it. It's another weapon. I know a lot of people think he's washed, but that's definitely another weapon for them.
He's a weapon, man. Yeah.
With both these teams coming off a loss, I know there's that always that question, who needs this win more? I know we're only week four of the season, but who would you say needs this win more so between the two teams?
Oh, my goodness. I think the Chiefs do, just to get back on track. Just to say, hey, look, man, we didn't go nowhere, okay? This little snafu that we had last week is what it was, all right? We're still serious. We're a very good football team, and we need to show it. And so I hate to see a performance like the defense like they had last week to be wasted. And so if they go ahead and repeat what they did last week, I think we get a victory this week. And so I think Pat and those guys are growing off of this. I think they're learning a little bit more about each other, which you need to do. This is, like I said, when you have three games in, about the fourth game, you know, you start to get a good feel about the guys around you in real competition. You know, it's not preseason. It's not training camp. It's not the offseason. These things count. And so about fourth game, you start to see where guys are going with it. You know, so this is going to be a good victory for us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I hope so. And, you know, it's a Sunday night game, and it's always nice to have a Sunday night game. And plus, if we're going to have our post-game show right after that game, I want to be in a good mood at around midnight.
yeah, for sure. For sure.
But, all right, well, again, we're going to invite you all to join the post-game reaction show right after the Sunday night game against the Buccaneers Sunday night. Probably be around midnight. So I hope you guys join that. But for everything else, if anybody wants to get involved in betting on the game this weekend, you can always go to Bet Online, and that's our sponsor of Chief Concerns. So, you know, who knows, maybe take a 28-21, put it on the Chiefs. Yeah, maybe that could be the bet of the weekend. So, we'll see you guys on Sunday for the post game reaction show.
Come see us.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.